would love to call you back just as soon as I can.
The mailbot is pulling.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. Let's discuss. If your brother sins against you, we had a delightful dialogue, and because we reviewed this once before, and I think it's important, because typically it's what I'm giving you is Matthew 18 and Luke 17, which have similarities, because the Matthew 18 is the common thing we use about, ESV, which I have listed here, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him. Alone. If he listens to you, then you have gained your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let it be to you, a Gentile and a tax collector. That particular passage is often used as this is kind of the steps you go in a reconciliation process. But two things should be noted. One, you go privately to your brother and you gain your brother if, you know, the reconciliation occurs. The second step is you go with another witness, you know, because it would be consistent with the idea, you know, he can't be put to death unless there's multiple witnesses kind of thing. But then if he refuses to tell it to the church, it's not you go to the leadership and the leadership of the institutional church decides. You tell it to the assembly, like LSV would say. You tell it to the people in the group. It's not that the leadership does. It's the people making the accusation. And if he refuses even to listen to the church, the assembly, it's not the leadership. It is the assembly, the entire assembly, that then takes action. It's not done by leadership. I think that's an important thing. But the thing that we discussed today, if your brother sins against you, is the ESV, NASV. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. So there's a difference. There's the against you question. So and if you look in the case of King James, it has that against thee. But does it make a difference in the sense of the order of things? You do it privately, you do it with another witness, you do it to the assembly. I don't think if it's a sin against you or just a sin per se, that it makes a difference. Perhaps. But the analogy is Luke 17. And again, you have in the ESV, pay attention to yourselves if your brother sins, rebuke him. And so, okay, it's not against you. But if you go to something like the King James, take heed to yourselves if thy brother trespasses against thee, or, you know, against you, the same kind of thing. So the NASB and the ESV does not have against you. The LSV does have in regard to you. So there is notes typically, it's a textual variance. But the thing that's fascinating, it is kind of the same subject in both cases where the variance occurs. So it seems that the variance was potentially added to both. Why? You know, I don't know. Because is it that when it's against you, it kind of, okay, that means, you know, because in the NASB, the next verse, and if he sins against you seven times a day, King James, and if he trespasses against thee seven times a day, ESV, and if he sins against you seven times a day. So the you is in there in that second part, in Luke 17, but not in the first part. It's in verse 4, but not in the verse 3, which is interesting. But you could say that verse 3, if your brother sins, rebuke him. So he does something, it's not against you. He's gotten drunk. And it's a sin, so you correct him. because you rebuke him. And if he says, okay, I shouldn't have done that, your forgiveness is not because it happened towards you. It's you're not holding this against him. If he sins against you seven times a day, now it's focused. He slapped you. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. He slaps you again. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. So it's specifically against you. And he says, I repent. You must forgive him. So, you know, that is very, very specific. So it is an interesting question, because when you see the progress of doing it first individually, then with another, and then with the assembly, you see that progress in 18, Matthew 18, in the Luke 17, you see the seven times a day aspect. So you see the continuous forgiveness. But the question is, to what degree, I wonder if maybe the best way to put this, is it limited to if it's against you? If he slapped you, or is he got drunk? Does it only apply to one or the other? I would suggest it applies to both. So, so in the case of Matthew 18, if your brother trespasses against the King James or the NASB, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. So he slaps me. I can tell him, hey, you know, please don't do that. That was not a good thing. And he said, I'm sorry. If he got drunk, please don't do that. That is not a good thing. It wasn't against you. But if he listens to you, you have won your brother. I think this is you know, very, very valid. So anyway, it was an interesting dialogue. So, you know, again, it's the kind of thing I'd like to discuss with my own family. I'm leaving you a link to, obviously a lot of news organizations will do, you know, a year in review kind of thing. Well, there was one from RT. They did several. And this one I think is kind of important. Nord Stream Blast Revelations, in reference to Seymour Hersh. And what I'm also giving you is links to the February 8th and February 9th voicemails, because the summary that this lady gives, I think, is quite good, because she has had almost a year to fill in a lot of the gaps and explain it, I think, far more clearly than some of the other things. And of course, some of the other things have been made clear over time, you know, because the U.S. did it. She gives you very good details. And when the revelation first came out, February 8th, you know, I mentioned it because I talked about collateral pipeline, which is what I described. And then on February 9th, I went through some technical details, why the technique that was used, described by Seymour Hersh, makes logical sense. Why the sauna buoys were used rather than this nonsense about a private group of individuals from Ukraine got on a yacht. You know, that's such nonsense. It's ridiculous. And the point which was made in this, three of the four pipelines were destroyed. Not all four. One is there, and they simply refused to turn it on. You know, it's remarkable politics. It's kind of like, oh, let's shoot ourselves in the head, because it's doing tremendous damage economically to Germany. They're having huge economic collapse. But of course, you know, the U.S. Masters say, you know, you can't turn it on. But the point of all that is a reminder. What is collateral pipeline? It is what I described as effectively the next version of collateral murder. That's where I came up with the title. And I described it in a couple months, two, 3 months, before Seymour Hersh did his announcement, saying how to protect the person who would do this. And, you know, so obviously you go to somebody with credibility that will protect you. And it's, you know, there was the issue when Bradley Manning first, you know, or Mr. Chelsea Manning first leaked to WikiLeaks. The problem was there was too much evidence already pointing to him. You know, he went to the New York Times first and things of that nature. And so it was kind of like, well, we're not going to identify him, but then it became too obvious. So it's very acknowledged. He was the leaker. You know, he confessed it himself publicly. Obama pardoned him, on his exit. So the point of the collateral pipeline is who would be next. And in the case of whoever is the source for Seymour Hersh, you went to, again, a source that has demonstrated some credibility, because he's older than I am. He's like 82, 84, whatever. And he's had some high-profile events. You know, he came to the world stage with the My Lai massacre, and has done other things to make him kind of a pain. But so he's been able to protect his source. You know, the other example in the case of WikiLeaks is they were kind of saying about Seth Rich being the source for the Clinton email leak, basically, I think it's fairly admitted now. The issue is, will others admit that, specifically the FBI and whatnot, who's investigated all this stuff? There's I mentioned that end of last year, I think I mentioned where there is a somebody is who is it saying that okay, the information about Seth Rich is going to become public. As far as I know, it hasn't happened. I don't have a direct link, but anyway. But the point is, when you go to a Seymour Hersh or a WikiLeaks, you're going to an organization. And the point of Shofar Leaks is you're not going to an organization. You're putting using technology in your hands. And that's my objective. So what I've done over the last several days, including today, I'm solidifying, simplifying, solidifying. I just said, okay, I'm going to put a demo online. And I said, okay, if I'm going to do a demo, what I had is a demo machine before. I took that down. I'm doing something where I've got some ways to put, to allow you to track who is sending or dealing with or trying to tamper with your email. I'm trying to put that stuff in place, and I wanted to get a demo online. I think I may be able to do that tomorrow, maybe. I don't know. Got to swim tomorrow. You know, it's Wednesday. It's required. So I'm going to strive for that, because I am pushing hard. I'm pushing hard to deliver something solid. Because I'm not playing a game. And I need to find an ally, at least one. An ally who will actually spend time with me on the project. Anyway, my lady, my wife. There are people who are, I would suggest, sinning in the sense of, the Lord commands, if your brother has something against you, first be reconciled with your brother, Matthew 5:24. I've mentioned this a time or two. approach this to Jim Cross, Rhonda Keynes, Chris Bitterman, and say, you know, hey, let's reconcile. One of the things that I'm just going to pursue, again, the purpose behind Shofar Leaks, protect the whistleblower, free the sex slave, facilitate reconciliation. Part three, I'm going to attempt to work with Jim Cross, Rhonda Keynes, Chris Bitterman, and of course, my wife. And any of my kids. You know, I've got kids. Kids. What are kids? What are kids? Anyway. My lady, my wife, I love you, and I ask for you back.